entice people to come to this country, no matter what he says now. It's already started. The criminal gangs have already figured out the transportation routes. The caravans are already loaded up and coming, and more is going to come. You're going to see a surge at the border that we've never seen before because of the words of Joe Biden.
Today's show anchor Al Roker is vaccinated against COVID-19. The weatherman saying he had to try a number of times to get an appointment.
All weekend long, I went on the New York State health.gov website and kept logging in. I finally hit pay dirt, and so that's how I made it. But it was a constant. I kept hitting refresh on the browser and finally got in.
Roker eligible because of a Trump administration change that lowered the age to 65. He got the Pfizer shot this morning at Lenox Hill Hospital in New York. For USA Radio News, I'm Tim Berg.
It's dry night tonight, followed by a partly cloudy to mostly sunny afternoon Friday. Once again, there's a chance of that overnight patch of fog that might be dense. 50s. Friday afternoon goes to a high of lower 70s. Chance of showers coming in Friday night, Saturday, with a cool front coming down. Highs of lower 70s. Cooler with clearing Saturday night drops to the 50s. A cooler Sunday, some clouds come back. Late day scattered showers. The highs in the 60s. Ralph Sanji, WGSO.
A single car accident victim can require as many as 100 pints of blood. That's why the American Red Cross needs you to donate blood today. Make an appointment or find the nearest blood drive by visiting www.redcross.org. The American Red Cross needs you to donate blood today. Make an appointment or find the nearest blood drive by visiting www.redcross.org or call 1-800-RED-CROSS.
The views and opinions expressed during this show are those of the hosts and guests only. In no way do they represent the views, positions, or opinions expressed or implied of WGSO 990 AM or North Shore Radio, LLC.
I have a lot of things I want to get off my chest.
We just gotta do what we do. We play like we play. We be us. We be special. We smell greatness. We finish strong. Yes, from the top.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. We are tonight's entertainment.
I got something to say.
Welcome to the Something to Say radio show on WGSO 990 AM and streaming live on WGSO.com. No subjects are off limits, so call in with your questions or comments to 504-556-9696. And now here are the hosts of the Something to Say radio show, BJ Rust with Mike Hinson.
All right, welcome to another edition of the Something to Say radio show on WGSO 990 AM and streaming live on the new WGSO.com website. Well, things didn't go the way we wanted them to go, did they? It was a rough game Sunday between the Saints and the Bucks, and, you know, here's the deal. We don't have any excuses we can make. We just got beat. We got outplayed. Truthfully, where I thought the game, where it was won and lost, was in the very beginning, and we held the Bucks to 2-3 and outs in a row, and with good returns from Deontay Harris, put us in great field position, and the only thing we came away with was 2 field goals. Well, when you lose by 10 points, that's a big deal, and. You know, that probably was Drew's last game by all indications, even though he said that he's going to take some time and he'll think about it. But I just don't I don't foresee him to come back next year. And really the sad part is, you know, not only did he not get a championship on his way out, but, you know, 3 interceptions is really not the way that you want to end your career. And if it is the last time he plays, his last pass was an interception. So, you know, it was tough. Sean, what did you think of the game?
It was rough. I was fortunate to be there working the broadcast with Fox, and it was just kind of like touch and go. You felt confident early on, At least that's the what I got from it. And I felt like just those two drives where it's like we probably should have got touchdowns instead of field goals really would have been ideal. And and everyone would sit there and say, like, hey, Drew looked like a 42-year-old quarterback. Or, I mean, I think it's something where the Bucs and maybe Brady was like, hey, not this time. Like, third time's the charm for us. We mm-hmm. maybe studied a little more in-depth, looked at that film, and saw where there's that potential for where they could stop them, put us in third and long situations, and then, of course, you know, getting the ball, getting Drew kind of off his game a little bit and coughing that ball up. I mean, in some of those, in those instances, too, weren't his fault. I think that one turnover from Cooks.
Yeah.
Of course. And it's just something like that. And, I mean, take some solace, and I think maybe may sound a little silly. I mean, he's not out the door just yet. He hasn't said it. I know Jake Glazer did, and others are adamant that he's done. But, I mean, until he says it, until I hear straight from the horse's mouth, then I don't want to hear it. And maybe just kind of like what Dr. Seuss says, don't be sad that it's over. Be happy that it happened.
That's true. And that's a very optimistic way to look at things. And, you know, it's tough. It's tough because as a competitor, and we all know how much of a competitor that he is, man, is that the way you want to end your career?
Right, and not everybody gets to go out on top. Very few, too. I mean, really the ones that people look at, of course, are Elway, then Jerome Bettis with the Steelers as well. Not everyone gets to do that.
Yeah, and Peyton Manning, let's be honest, if it wasn't for that Broncos defense back then, he wouldn't have been standing on top.
Or Brock Osweiler, too. Brock Osweiler.
Yeah, I mean, the one time that Brock Osweiler came through,
yeah,
he played well for him, and he's the one that really got him into that position. Mm-hmm. And truthfully, it was a little unfair. But when you're on the team with Peyton Manning, you have to give Peyton Manning the benefit of the doubt and let him lead that team. But you know, there's a lot of things. The Saints weren't as the game progressed, they just unraveled. And you know, a lot of it too could go back to the fact that it shows the importance of having Taysom Hill. It shows the importance of having Latavius Murray.
Home field advantage, fans.
Home field advantage. Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, because I feel like those could have been some things there that where they could really add to. And I don't want to sit there and you'll know, be we don't because we're not coming off as sore losers. It's more like, man, if we did this or something, because you just want to hang your hat on something to feel good about yourself, and that's just human nature. And
right.
I mean, Drew's probably doing the same thing, and I think for him at least, you know, when he throwing the ball with his kids in the field, not to toot my own horn, I got to see that in person, and that was that hit you right in the field. So especially come from me as a new dad, that's ooh.
Yeah, it's I don't know, you know, I did like the trick play that we pulled out. I haven't seen any of those in quite a while.
That was great. I was kind of ready for almost something like playoff Troutman or something, one of these guys that we didn't hear too much from. But I don't know. I guess Peyton just thought maybe some, hey, how often can I go to the well with the like a bag of tricks, like where like I only get one shot at it, and if it doesn't work.
Yeah. Well, and you know, you look at the stats for the game, and Michael Thomas was targeted 4 times with 0 catches. I mean, that's huge. And now he, you know, it comes out he's going to need surgery on his ankle, and what was it? He has a torn pectoral or something like that. Mm-hmm. And you know, then it comes out, well, truthfully, he was really hurt, but. He felt like he wanted to be out there to try to help Drew get to the Super Bowl and possibly win the Super Bowl, which is admirable. But no catches. I mean, I guess at that point you're just using him as a decoy.
Right. And but I don't know if it's even because he doesn't have speed per se. And I think after a while, I think that defense sniffs that out and it's like, he ain't getting the ball.
Yeah. And even with Marquez Callaway, who I'm really big on, unfortunately, he's the same type of player as Michael Thomas. He's a possession style receiver. He didn't have any. He had 2 targets and 0 catches.
I figured we were going to run the ball. I figured, like, hey, steady dose of Alvin Kamara, maybe get some stuff. I know we kind of went to Harris quite a few times, and I get it because he had a great game the week before, and maybe we can get him with some speed, kind of throw him off. And I think then we just got too many drives where it's like three and out, or we just stall. I mean, and that happens, but throughout the course of a game for any team, no matter how good or bad they are. But I feel like we just had one too many of those, that, and of course the interceptions that, where it's just looked like, hey, it's not looking good.
Yeah, and the fumble by Jared Cook came at a really bad time.
Yeah, it just like those things take the momentum is just like huge. It feels like almost like with playoff baseball, like when it just like it comes out of nowhere, that pitcher just gets this wild eye. It's like, hey, you know what? I'm going on. Skipper, don't even bother coming to the mound. I got it.
Right.
You know, and like that defense steps up, or like the QB is just does everything right.
Well, and I also thought it was interesting too. I was reading the story earlier today about how I think Fox brought in a professional lip reader to read.
Oh, I didn't hear that. I didn't see anybody. I don't know. I didn't see like an extra person anywhere on our crew.
Well, I think this was after the fact, but because there was video at the end of the game of Breeze talking to Jameis Winston, and he apparently, according to the lip readers, he looked at him and said, "Well, that's it."
I heard that's it, and supposedly another one where people were saying like, "Oh, it's your team now," and it didn't look like that. I watched the clip a little bit too. I'm like, I don't get that, but I don't.
Yeah,
I think just people maybe reaching, looking for something, just to sit there and say whether they're wrong or right. It's like, hey, we had a lip reader come in.
Yeah, and you know, and I'm very superstitious and I'm funny about things, but you know, whenever every game, for the most part, when it's playing the whole weekend, except for our game, no, there's usually always one game where the lower seeded team wins, and I'm like, well, the higher seeded team has won each game, that leaves us. So you
right,
know,
it was the flip side the week before too.
Yeah, so. You know, I don't know. It sucks, and I know that we all are a little down about it. But you know, it is what it is, and that's the way it goes. Yeah. And
at least we didn't lose in heartbreak. Well, still heartbreaking fashion, but at least not heartbreaking fashion in the sense of like on the last play of the game.
Well, there's that. So you know, this was just the old fashioned getting your heart ripped out of your chest, and. Well, you know, we'll talk more in the third segment about what the Saints are going to be looking at as far as salary cap going into next season, because there's a lot of things that have to be done now. And there's probably going to be some guys that are not going to be on this team next year.
We're going to have some money.
We've got to have money. And as
Saints are going to have some walking around money.
Well, right now we're $100 million, almost $100 million over the salary cap. So there's a few things that are going to have to be done in order for us to be able to at least maintain our team.
And Loomis, you know, we trust, right?
We're going to have a hell of a draft. We'll just put it at that. So let's take a break, and we'll come back, and we'll talk about the rest of the NFL divisional round after this.
The Mayhaw is the craft cocktail bar located in the historic St. Rock Market. Join us every day for happy hour from 4 to 7 p.m. and weekly specials like Tiki Tuesdays, Whiskey Wednesdays, and Thrifty Thursdays. The Mayhaw offers local craft brews and a robust and ethically sourced wine selection for enjoyment with your meal on the patio or for carryout. The Mayhaw is excited to present Mayhaw Mobile, a cocktail, beer, and wine delivery service. Learn more at strochmarket.com.
WGSO 990 AM is the only locally owned and operated talk station in New Orleans. We feature 20 local hosts discussing a variety of topics. In an era when the daily newspaper is being discontinued and our competitors are out-of-state media conglomerates, we ask you, our listeners, to support local programming on a local station. To advertise or sponsor one of our great shows, contact me at jeff@wgso.com or call 504-669-6076.
We study all of the statistics and then we make our decisions. And there's nothing wrong with an informed decision. But sometimes we need to get back to the core truth of who we are as God's people. We need to learn what it means to live by faith.
Join Dr. David Jeremiah for his series, The Life God Blesses, next time on Turning Point.
You can provide the life-changing opportunity of a quality education to a disadvantaged Louisiana student at almost no cost. For those inclined to make a difference and fortify our community, it's a no-brainer. 95% of every donation to ACE Scholarships directly funds a deserving child scholarship, and you receive a 95% tax credit through the Louisiana Tuition Donation Credit. To learn more, call Arthur Dupre at 504-710-1132.
Big Easy Pet Shop and Rescue is a nonprofit volunteer-run rescue. We provide adoption services and care for homeless animals across the New Orleans metro area. We also offer pet supplies and grooming services at our downtown and Marigny locations. The shops are located at 839 Spain Street and 513 Dumaine Street and are open from 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. weekdays and noon to 6 on Saturdays, noon to 5 on Sundays. We can be found on the web at BigEasyPetShop.com. Support local animals in need by shopping and adopting with Big Easy Animal Rescue.
I'm only happy when it rains. Feel good when things are going wrong.
All right, welcome back to the Something to Say radio show on WGSO 990 AM. So we talked about the Saints and the Bucks and how that game went. So let's talk about the Rams and the Packers game that kicked off divisional round play this weekend. Really not a big surprise other than the Rams defense not really showing up. Green Bay won the game 32-18. And I think the real thing that surprised me in this game was, to be fair, there was no Aaron Donald for most of the game. He was rotating in and out. But however, the Rams defense, which was the number one defense in the NFL this year, went up against the number one ranked offense in the NFL this year. And it didn't go very well for them. The biggest thing that I noticed in this game was that the Rams rushing defense was non-existent. Looks like they had the Packers rushed for about 190 yards, and you're not going to win any playoff games allowing 190 yards rushing. I mean, it's just not going to happen. It's just like the old, there's another saying that if you turn the ball over three times in a playoff game, you're probably going to lose. If you allow 190 yards rushing, you're probably going to lose that game, especially when you're playing against someone like Aaron Rodgers, who, if they can stay balanced, he's going to tear you apart. And he ended the game with 296 yards and two touchdowns. And truthfully, it could have been worse. Alan Lazard dropped what probably would have been another touchdown, so it would have been even worse. Could have been 39-18, if that, you know, as a final. However, that was a really tough game to watch, just because I think we were all pulling for the Rams, even if, as much as we don't like them, you know, with the hopes of had they won and the Saints could have pulled it off, then, you know, there's no going to Green Bay and you get another game in the dome. But yeah, it just, the Rams, there was a couple glimpses where they looked like they had they could have maybe have made some noise, but it just, when with Jared Goff as the quarterback, and granted he just had surgery on his thumb, but I'm just not a big believer in that kid. And even though he got a ridiculous payday, I think the Rams are kicking themselves for paying him that money. And I also read today that Sean McVay's not giving any guarantees that Jared Goff not only will he be the starter next year, but may not even be on the team.
That's a pretty big, that's a hot take for him. I mean, coming from the head coach, right. I mean, I don't know how politely he put it, because everyone speaks in tongues or speaks in code when you're on those kinds of jobs or whatever, and high profile gigs. But he played well in both the games that he came in. So I felt like that gives him a little bit of gives him a tough guy status. Like, hey, I came in during playoff conditions, and we hung in there as best we can. It's just that their defense was just beat up, especially really with no Donald. It's kind of like they didn't have much of a shot, and which is unfortunate. When you saw Aaron Donald, on the sidelines, just kind of tearing up, very emotional about it. Because I think these guys do realize, especially at that point when it's like, you're going to lose, or it's like, hey, we're not in it. I'm not at my best, or I'm injured, right. I'm hurt. That like, hey, this was our shot, and they talk a little bit about it when they have a microphone or a camera in front of them, to not too much extent unless they're asked about it. Where it's like, hey, I only have a finite amount of time to get to these spots, and a lot of times you can't sit there and say, like the fans do, it's easy for fans to say, oh, hey, next year, when really that it's harder to say that if you're a player or you're a coach. I mean, you can't be like, what's a franchise? There's like the Cubs where, they're like, oh, we'll get them next year. I don't know how that goes, but it's different.
Yeah, absolutely. And every team is different. Even if you bring back mostly the same players, it's not the same team. I mean, how many times have we seen a team win the Super Bowl and then they can't, they can't even make the playoffs next year?
Right. Yeah. Or the last time we've had a back to back. At least this year we have. There's still that shot. Perhaps. I mean, that's that's a can of worms right there with Mahomes and. Oh, man.
Yeah, and that was in that game. Cleveland had the opportunity, and they just unfortunately they couldn't. Their defense couldn't hold. To come back and knock the Chiefs off, losing 22-17. But, whenever Mahomes went out, the first thing I thought of was there's, when he, after he got up and he kind of flashed back over, I'm like, I hope this is the one time I hope that the NFL is doing the right thing.
Because if there was ever the liability there. Oh my God. Yeah.
Especially if there was ever a time somebody was concussed,
so glaring, like looked like you saw guy. It looked like he looked white. He looked like another shade of pale. It's like super,
right.
Like, oh my God. Like you can almost see right through him. And
yeah,
the bobbling.
And his eyes rolling around.
Right. And it didn't look like that bad of a hit, to be honest. It didn't translate well on TV.
I think it was more his head hitting the turf than anything.
Yeah. Because they were saying before the one about, I think the initial hit that he got before he came to the ground, I was just like, oh man.
Yeah, and hopefully he's okay. But with something that's one of the worst ones I've seen in quite a while.
And then they're not saying that it may not be a concussion; that it could be something like a neck injury, like almost like a pinched nerve situation.
Well, I don't know. That doesn't. Yeah. I've had plenty of pinched nerves, but it didn't make me act like that.
The kind of player he is. There are, I think, some articles like there people are really like breaking, like they're journalists. These journalists are breaking down the. Concussion protocol, explain like, hey, week, like day by day throughout the week, like what he has to go through to be able to play.
Mm-hmm. Well, I remember a few years ago that Russell Wilson was going through so much with different concussions and different injuries. I forgot what season it was. I think it was about 4 years ago, but they made the playoffs that year, and he was only sleeping like 2 hours at a time.
Ouch. Yeah, that's what I check on. Yeah, we're wrapping up here.
Yeah, he couldn't sleep. He couldn't sleep too much because of the concussion.
Yeah, we got to go.
All right, we'll take a break. We'll be back.
You can provide the life-changing opportunity of a quality education to a disadvantaged Louisiana student at almost no cost. For those inclined to make a difference and fortify our community, it's a no-brainer. 95% of every donation to ACE Scholarships directly funds a deserving child scholarship. And you receive a 95% tax credit through the Louisiana Tuition Donation Credit. To learn more, call Arthur Dupre at 504-710-1132.
Hi, this is Kate Delaney from America Tonight. The show kicks on at midnight, and I'm loving the overwhelming support in New Orleans. What a group of fantastic listeners here on WGSO 990 AM. Join me every morning to catch up on what I call the buzz in your backyard and mine. You'll hear some of the most interesting people on the planet from the world of business, politics, sports, and, well, just intriguing people with a story to tell. If you're around, give us a call. Don't worry, I'll spit out the number plenty of times on the air. Let's agree to meet at midnight right here on WGSO 990 AM in New Orleans.
Alex Jones.
I have believed from the very beginning these are real grassroots uprisings all over the Middle East, North Africa. But when the globalists came out and bragged that they were behind El Baradei and others and are trying to take credit for it, clearly they knew that these rebellions were coming, so they triggered it to make sure their people got in. So I think everybody who's been looking at this from different perspectives has been right.
We're on the march. The empire's on the run. Alex Jones.
Weekdays at 1 on WGSO.
Louisiana Radio Network, I'm Matt Doyle. Officials cut the ribbon today on the first of three phases in the $183 million I-10 widening project. State Department of Transportation Secretary Sean Wilson says they widened a stretch from LA 347 at the intersection of I-10 all the way to the Atchafalaya Basin to three lanes.
So westbound, you have three lanes from when you get off the basin, and eastbound, you have new lanes from 347 back to the base. Total reconstruction of that entire 2.7, 2.8-mile stretch.
The project also included two roundabouts and drainage improvements, and New Iberia police are looking for a motive after two 16-year-olds apparently shot and killed each other at close range. New Iberia Police Sergeant Daisha Hughes says they don't know if the teens knew each other, and both were declared dead on the scene Sunday night. She says the community is both saddened and angry and want answers.
How did they get the hold of the guns? Where were the parents? People are angry with the parents as well, wanting to know, you know, where were they and how did they not know that their kids had guns?
LRN.
Are you a policyholder affected by Hurricanes Laura or Delta? I'm Insurance Commissioner Jim Donlan, and I'd like to help you navigate the recovery process. At the Louisiana Department of Insurance, we want you to know about your rights as a policyholder. You may have already filed a claim and received a payment from your insurance company. But should you discover additional damages or costs to repair your home or other property, you have the right to ask your insurance company for additional relief. The Louisiana Department of Insurance can guide you through the claims process and help you understand your rights as a policyholder. So if you have questions, call us at 1-800-259-5300 or go to ldi.la.gov. I'm Commissioner Jim Donlan, and that number again, 800-259-5300 or ldi.la.gov. If you need us, we're ready to help.
You can provide the life-changing opportunity of a quality education to a disadvantaged Louisiana student at almost no cost. For those inclined to make a difference and fortify our community, it's a no-brainer. 95% of every donation to ACE Scholarships directly funds a deserving child scholarship, and you receive a 95% tax credit through the Louisiana Tuition Donation Credit. To learn more, call Arthur Dupre at 504-710-1132.
When the time came, I knew I had to find a place where Mom would be safe and active while still feeling independent. A place that was close to all of us and everything she needed. Locally owned and operated in the heart of Gonzales, I found Francois Ben Senior Living. They specialize in independent and assisted living and memory care.
Call 225-647-BEND for more information on our special pre-leasing offers.
Francois Ben Senior Living. Experience life as it should be.
We understand during this time it is crucial that your customers feel safe coming to your business. Sir Speedy can help with signs and barriers to promote personal safety. From window and floor graphics to sneeze guards and branded face masks, we can help. Sir Speedy New Orleans, together we can do more. Find us on the web at SirSpeedyNewOrleans.com or call us at 504-586-9812.
Hi, I'm Pete Cannizzaro with Cannizzaro Realty Appraisals and Sales. We provide appraisals for multiple reasons, such as mortgages, refinancing, estate successions, property settlement, and more. We have local knowledge and experience, so bring in the experts at Cannizzaro Realty and make sure your property is being evaluated correctly. Cannizzaro Realty Appraisals and Sales, now with three locations, Uptown, Downtown, and Metairie. Call 504-831-0507 or visit CannizzaroRealty.com for appraisals and sales.
She's a girl dressed in black from another world. Lives and breathes like a girl from another world. She don't know my name. She don't have the time of day. Celebrate.
All right, welcome back to the Something to Say radio show on WGSO 990 AM. We've been talking about the NFL divisional round, and just to finish up the conversation about that, we need to talk about the Bills and Ravens game from Saturday night. It wasn't a surprise that Buffalo won, because they've been playing really well. And truthfully, if there's any team, at least out of the AFC, and now there's the only opportunity for an AFC team to knock off the Chiefs. Even with a healthy Patrick Mahomes, I feel like the Bills could give them a run for their money. But no Patrick Mahomes, I'm leaning towards the Bills in that matchup next weekend. The Bills knocked off the Ravens 17-3, but the most surprising thing I feel out of that game was the fact that Lamar Jackson was held to only 34 yards rushing. That was on 9 carries. Normally he averages about 9 or 10 yards every time he touches, every time he runs with the ball. Lamar Jackson ended up leaving the game. I believe it was late in the third or early in the fourth when he went out with what looked to be a concussion as well. And that was because the ball got snapped over his head, and he ran after it and just kind of picked it up and threw it out of bounds. However, when he threw the ball, he kind of jumped up to do it. When he landed on the back of his head, and hopefully he's okay and he can bounce back. But it was just pretty lackluster, really, of what I saw out of Baltimore Saturday. Granted, the Bills didn't put up as many points as they normally do. They got 17, but I just thought there would be a little bit of a tighter game between the Ravens and the Bills. And I guess some other news from Baltimore is that Mark Ingram is going to be released once that comes in March, whenever they have to release players before it takes a hit on their salary cap. But he was a healthy scratch for them, and it's a little surprising. I know he had some injuries earlier in the year, but he was a healthy scratch I think most of December.
I think it was right after he got tested positive for coronavirus. I don't think he shut it down himself, but I guess that, and maybe there was a lingering injury. He was just like, I'm gonna call it a season.
Yeah, and there's some interesting things that's going to come out of all this. Dez Bryant played well down the stretch for the Ravens, just the same as Antonio Brown has played well for Tampa Bay, and those guys are all on 1-year deals. And I just wonder what that's going to look like when free agency starts, because they've played well enough that they should get offered some pretty decent money. And I don't know if Dez Bryant's age or Antonio Brown's age, or with their histories, they're going to get offered more than a 1-year deal, but they certainly won't be playing for the minimum like they have done.
No, but I'd also think for some of them, with whether it's age or just people want to say that for Antonio Brown's case, just maybe I want to say a locker room cancer, but there's only no one would touch them for a long time. And I don't know what the deal is really with Dez, because Dez was the one I feel like didn't get a fair shake. I mean, I get it. He just went out of Dallas because it's like, hey, we're not doing anything right. We're stuck in mediocrity, which is awful. It's like, if you're gonna do that, at least tank and let us go get some draft picks. And where Antonio Brown's just a basket case, I guess. No disrespect for a better term, but where it's like the only person that wanted him was Tom Brady.
Yeah, and I think that's what you're going to find next year, too. I don't know if anybody's going to go out on a limb for him.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to be a thing.
He probably doesn't want to go anywhere else anyway.
Right, it may not be a thing where it's like, oh, we got to go grab him in case somebody else does, like what people do in the draft, where it's like, oh, we got to go, we got to jump a few spots in case this team, our division rival gets him. It's not going to be like that. It's going to be like, you want him, you got him.
Well, and The Bucs are going to be facing some issues like we're facing as well. I mean, granted, their situation's probably not as bad salary cap-wise as ours. But there again, like Antonio Brown, is he going to play for $1 million? Probably not. Gronkowski, I don't know. I think he should be up for a new contract, although he said he wants to return to play with Brady.
Really? I don't. He looked every time he passes or anything, he looked slow to get up every time in the Saints game, especially that first pass to him. Of course, the two of them like that. He did get one kind of important pass there, to move the chains for the Bucs. But other than that, he looked pedestrian at best for him. And he just, not as big as he looked like a smaller version of himself. Just the mobility isn't there. I mean, I don't know if it was just kind of like a, hey, I was waiting for Tom and then I'll get in shape, or COVID and all that stuff. So who knows? Maybe because what is he, 29?
He's a young man still.
Maybe yeah. 30. He's or 30. Efforting. I'll look that up.
And see, there's the thing that they've got some players though. They've got some linebackers that they need to re-sign. They have Chris Godwin's contract is up. There's some moves that need to be made, and they're going to have to make some decisions as well.
Yeah, they got high-priced talent still on offense. I think when if they want to keep some guys on defense as well, whether it's with Ndamukong Suh, I think he's kind of has a similar contract to Antonio Brown, where it's just for pennies on the dollar kind of thing.
And Leonard Fournette got pennies on the dollar as well.
Right.
He's still at the age, too, where he's not going to – I guarantee he's not going to take pennies on the dollar.
No, because he's technically – he's in his prime right now.
Right.
He may just stay just like, hey, because he looks not like his he did at LSU, but he looked better. I mean, I think he maybe progressed where maybe Tom's like, hey, I need you to focus on being kind of out of the backfield. But his that offensive line stepped up for him, too. And I think that's what helped as well.
Absolutely.
Fournette.
So let's talk about the Saints cap issues. As it stands, I believe, they are in the ballpark of $95 million over the salary cap. So where do you start to get back down to the salary cap and still be able to try to improve the team or sustain the team? And I was looking at this article, and one of them is obviously the biggest thing is Breeze's contract. He as it stands right now, he counts for $36.15 million on the same salary cap. And if he retires, the team can pick up $13.5 million in cap space, and only $22 million of that will count in dead money. But they could reduce the salary to the league minimum if he retires, and they could put it down to $1.075 million, and that could drop the salary cap hit down $36 million, from 36 to 12. So they could save, that'd give them $23 million. So that's huge. But they would have to carry him as an active player until June 2nd, which then they can officially place him on the retired list. And that kicking the can down the road on Breeze's contract, like we have for so long. I mean, it that receipt's coming due, and if he stays, I'm sure there'll be restructuring of his contract. But if he does retire, then there's going to have to be some other things. Another idea that, according to this article, was to cut Quan Alexander. Well, to be honest, I mean, I thought he played really well before he got hurt. But the problem is,
he played great. Yeah, it was a shame he got hurt. I wish we would have had him for this last game. Jeez.
But the problem is, he's got a history of being hurt. And so what I could see happening is maybe releasing him, but with the idea to re-sign him to a more cap-friendly deal. Because right now, he's due for about $13 million on the cap.
Yeah, I think it might be a thing where it's like you're taking inventory of like who's restricted, who's unrestricted, who can you let go, and then just pick up later to save you some money. And because I think there's a few guys, even like Emmanuel Sanders, like is he here for a little while too? I think I don't know if it's where if Loomis and Peyton, they're kind of going down the line, and it's like who can we not live without kind of thing, and then we'll they make their decision from there.
Well, and I'm looking at this, and a player like Nick Easton's getting $7 million. what?
Yeah, you probably have a few at home that are like, who's Nick Easton?
Exactly. He's a backup offensive lineman. And granted, he's okay. I mean, I don't know if he's worth $7 million a year, but that would be somebody who's probably going to be a cap casualty. And then you want to be able to extend Ryan Ramczyk and Marshawn Lattimore and get these guys signed for the long haul, because these guys are all young and they're the future of this team. Janoris Jenkins could be a salary cap casualty too, right? Because you're looking at he'll have a cap charge of $14.2 million next year. And that's an awful lot for Janoris Jenkins.
Yeah, it sounds like he might be one of the ones that's probably going to go. Or if even for someone like it costs a lot, Andrus Peat.
Yeah.
I know people dog him a lot too. And when he's on, he's good. And then when he's hurt, it's just like, oh man, what? Come on, man. And which a lot of it, mm-hmm. It's just like, you know, you get banged up at that position. And but it's just like, you know, what's expected at that one, especially when you had a quarterback for years, is Drew Brees behind you that you got to protect.
Yeah, and I'll also be interested to see what they do with Latavius Murray. I think he's done a hell of a job as a backup, but he's also getting paid. He's getting paid $4.2 next year, and there's also the idea of cutting Thomas Morstead.
I could see that. Yeah, for someone that long in the long in the tooth, even at that position, it's like that's a lot of money to be paying someone like that. I mean. He does bring a lot. I would say to the team. I know we may not see it, but I'm, mm-hmm. in that locker room, in that building, I'm sure they would tell us otherwise.
Absolutely. And his $4.5 million cap charge is the second highest in the NFL for punters. So just saying, that could be something that happens. I hate to see it, because I think he's a great guy, just like you just said. Now the last thing, which is probably going to be the most important thing, is they're probably going to need to restructure Michael Thomas's contract.
They may need to do with Drew Brees, like you said, kick the can down the road if they want to keep him.
Yeah,
and right. Then Kamara got paid too, and it's something where it's like, I think they're doing that. I don't know how the NFL really looks at that stuff, because everyone's sitting there saying, it's like, oh, your quarterback demands so much money. And well, no, not everywhere they do, but people like, you know, Brees, Brady, Mahomes. Mm-hmm. Rodgers, yeah, those guys do. I think that's why they're real. I think the NFL is realizing, I think teams for a long time is like, hey, you need to let us spend more money. And you may have a few others that are like, no, we don't want to spend any more money. And right. Because it's like, there's only, like I said, I just listed off, there's only a handful of guys that demand that amount that are worth that much. So it's like, since there's only a handful of guys like that, I think that like the salary cap is going to stay where it is, at least for a little while longer. Until you know, maybe this generation and the next batch of really top NFL next generation of NFL quarterbacks comes around, it may be a little while until we see that.
Yeah, and you know, it's unfortunate. I wish more sports would have like a mix between the NBA salary cap, where it's not really a hard salary cap, where you can go over to sign
luxury
your own players.
Tax.
Yeah, and to mix that with the NHLs, where there's a minimum that teams have to spend, so you don't get these teams tanking and putting a bunch of
where the onus
mediocre
is still
players.
On winning. Yeah, the onus is on winning. Yeah.
So I think that would be, I mean, that would be ideal, but you know, we'll just have to see what it looks like with how much money that these teams lose.
I think players are probably behind you on that idea too with NBA, because it means they get every. Every cent of that, whatever million.
Well, and I always thought, I just thought that was a great idea. You know, unfortunately with the NBA, it causes more, I mean, it causes more trades, and the way it worked in the 90s, it seemed like it was perfect, where, you know, you had that, you know, you could keep your teams together. Mm-hmm. You couldn't go out and pick up a bunch of free agents and go over the cap, but to keep your core team together, I thought it was a great idea, and if it worked like that now, I think that would be ideal for almost every sport. But let's take a break, and we'll talk some Pels when we come back. How's that sound?
Tip off tonight too against the Jazz.
That's right. So we'll talk about that and a couple other things about the Pels. So we'll be back with more after this.
Pet Shop and Rescue is a nonprofit volunteer-run rescue. We provide adoption services and care for homeless animals across the New Orleans metro area. We also offer pet supplies and grooming services at our downtown and Marigny locations. The shops are located at 839 Spain Street and 513 Dumaine Street and are open from 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. weekdays and noon to 6 on Saturdays, noon to 5 on Sundays. We can be found on the web at BigEasyPetShop.com. Support local animals in need by shopping and adopting with Big Easy Animal Rescue.
Join Bougainvillea Productions and Soul Project NOLA every Friday on Facebook for Fridays from the Funky Uncle. Fridays from the Funky Uncle is a webcast featuring New Orleans funk musicians playing live music combined with interviews and outreach news to raise money for the entertainment community of New Orleans who are impacted by COVID-19. You can also contribute during the show through the use of our virtual tip bucket. So be with us every Friday at 7 p.m. on Facebook to have a funky time and support our music community from the one-of-a-kind Mardi Gras float, the Funky Uncle Lounge. For more info, follow us on social media at Fridays from the Funky Uncle.
WGSO 990 AM has recently become recognized as an official 501c3 nonprofit organization capable of accepting tax-deductible donations. So, in commemoration of our 75th anniversary, the station is launching a 75 for 75 campaign with the goal of raising $75,000 in 2021. The funds that are raised will be dedicated to help the station fulfill our broadcast mission and satisfy any equipment needs that arise. These donations are especially important because, unlike most radio stations in New Orleans, WGSO is independent, locally owned and operated, and not part of a national broadcasting conglomerate. To donate, go to WGSO.com and click on the Donate button on the front page. Help us to continue to be the community voice of the Crescent City.
This is Roland Creason with NOLA Town Bible Study. Let's get back to Bible study. This program is for those of us that still have a love for the Lord our God, the love of country, and the love of family. If you feel the same way, please join us every Tuesday night from 7 p.m. to 8 p.m. right here on WGSO 990 AM.
Welcome back to the Something to Say radio show on WGSO 990 AM. And before we talk about the Pels, there is some big baseball news, and I'm sure you got to you heard about what happened today with the Mets, Sean. For those of you who haven't been paying attention to baseball because it's quote unquote hot stove league time, the Mets had to fire their GM, who they just recently hired a month ago. Because when he was with the Cubs as the team's director of scouting and a special assistant in 2016, he was sending unsolicited, explicit texts and photos to a female reporter. Boy, oh boy.
I don't know what the trend is these days. I don't get it with just like guys getting fired before they even like get in the building and even like coach or even get to even do the job. And
in a situation like this, I mean, how stupid can you be?
And this was years ago. I just applaud the woman that finally was fed up and was the whistleblower there and just like told, I don't know if she was just waiting for this guy to get a bigger job, which I don't think was the case. I think it the idea of like, hey, it's like enough's enough. I'm putting this out here.
Well, I guess that they subpoenaed his phone records too, because I guess the last thread of text messages, he had texted her 60 times in a row, and it was that kind of creepy thing of, you know, why are you ignoring me type of thing, which, you know, usually that equal, when you hear that kind of thing, whether it's a guy or a girl, and I think, you know, I know
it's a red flag.
Most guys have ran across a girl like that in their time.
And I think men or women, they've done something when they're trying to attract the other. And it just is, it's like, after a while, it's like, look, like that, what that book says, like he or she's just not that into you.
Exactly. And she had even told him that, you know, everything that was all highly inappropriate and that he needed to stop, and it just continued. And then the last text was a picture of his, you know what, which that's a whole nother question that I have. I never have understood why guys.
I don't understand why
that either.
I don't understand why anyone would do that.
Right.
Guy or girl to another person. I don't get it.
It always, you know, and I always think about the end result of that is like, if it were to go, you know, work in their favor, like, you know, every couple, I'm sure,
like, that's out there because that picture's no longer yours. That's it's like it's right. For that person to share. There's like, and you hear those horror stories about some of that stuff where it finds, like, even for a regular Joe Schmo or right. Jane Doe, where it her body is now all over the internet and
right.
Unbeknownst to her even, and like,
well. And I always think about, like, I was just getting ready to say, like, you know, like, my wife and I have a story. You and your wife have a story of how you met. Could you imagine, like, that, you know, that girl, if that would have worked, like, well, how did you guys meet? Well, he sent me a picture of his junk.
Right.
And
before,
it was just magical.
Right. Because I have some friends they've met over one of the popular phone apps, the meeting apps. And, and you can sit there and kind of, like, chuckle with, like, ha, 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 or whatever, and. Like for me and my wife, we met at a bar, simple as that. But I mean,
right.
I know everyone kind of joked about, oh, you can't meet your wife. You're not going to meet anyone at a bar, but it's like, no, that's where you go. That's
yeah.
But it's just, you know, it is what it is.
Right. Well, I just thought that was interesting. So real quick before we get out, Pels take on Utah at 7 o'clock, mm-hmm. and Lonzo Ball might be making his return, but I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing because Nikhil Alexander-Walker has been playing pretty damn well.
Can we get him on that Gentry Zion plan, you know, just to limit those minutes, or Griffin? Hey Griff, you know, that knee's looking a little squeaky.
Right. Yeah, Alexander Walker's averaged 19.7 points, 5 rebounds, and almost 3 assists, and shooting 57% from the 3-point line, which is huge.
Yeah, because technically we don't have a 3. We don't have a deep ball guy.
No, and that leads to the last thing I want to talk about before we get out is there's rumors now of getting Kevin Porter Jr.
That
he looks like he's going to be released from Cleveland, and. The debate is whether or not it'll be worth it because he's a bit of just a little bit. But you know what? If you could get a quality player on the cheap,
right now, so, yeah, we're in no situation to be picky. So come on right. down, Kevin Porter Jr.
Well, on that, let's get out of here and play Gloria.
For more Something to Say Radio Show content, go to somethingtosayradioshow.com. Follow us on Twitter at S2S Radio Show. And you can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/somethingtosayradio.
Big Easy Pet Shop and Rescue is a nonprofit volunteer-run rescue. We provide adoption services and care for homeless animals across the New Orleans metro area. We also offer pet supplies and grooming services at our downtown and Marigny locations. The shops are located at 839 Spain Street and 513 Dumaine Street and are open from 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. weekdays and noon to 6 on Saturdays, noon to 5 on Sundays. We can be found on the web at BigEasyPetShop.com. Support local animals in need by shopping and adopting with Big Easy Animal Rescue.
Join Bougainvillea Productions and Soul Project NOLA every Friday on Facebook for Fridays from the Funky Uncle. Fridays from the Funky Uncle is a webcast featuring New Orleans funk musicians playing live music combined with interviews and outreach news to raise money for the entertainment community of New Orleans who are impacted by COVID-19. You can also contribute during the show through the use of our virtual tip bucket. So be with us every Friday at 7 p.m. on Facebook to have a funky time and support our music community from the one-of-a-kind Mardi Gras float, the Funky Uncle Lounge. For more info, follow us on social media at Fridays from the Funky Uncle.
When the time came, I knew I had to find a place where Mom would be safe and active while still feeling independent. A place that was close to all of us and everything she needed. Locally owned and operated in the heart of Gonzales, I found Francois Ben Senior Living. They specialize in independent and assisted living and memory care.
Call 225-647-BEND for more information on our special pre-leasing offers.
Francois Ben Senior Living. Experience life as it should be.
anytime, anywhere. Smartphone, TuneIn Radio app, WGSO.com. On the AM dial at 990 WGSO, New Orleans.